morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and those of you who are joining us online. We have just a few announcements this morning. One, this week Lent begins. Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday, and we will be meeting in the Fellowship Hall for worship at 6:30. We'd love for you to join us. And there are Lenten devotionals at each entrance. So if you'd like to grab one of those on your way out today, make sure you do that so you can start them on Wednesday. Okay, the big news, you all probably know this, but just a reminder, this week, work begins in the sanctuary. We are hosting a service on Tuesday for the North Carolina Synod. It's called a chrism service. Chrism is oil. And at this service, all of the oil that will be used for the synod in the coming year will be blessed by Bishop Smith. And this is primarily a service for pastors, for us to gather together before Lent and worship together. But since this is your church, you all are welcome to come and worship as well if you want to see what this service is about. The synod staff will be here. I'm hoping Bishop Smith will preach because this might be the last time that I get to hear him preach since he is retiring in June. But if you'd like to come, it's at 10:30. At 1 o'clock on Tuesday, we are having a work day to remove everything in the sanctuary except the pews. So if you can come and help us do that, we're gonna relocate some of the things to the Fellowship Hall where we'll be worshiping for the next 3 Sundays. And then putting some other things back in storage as well. So if you can come 1 o'clock, that would be great. And even if you can't, come later for supper. It'll be Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper from 5 to 7. And I know it will be delicious, it is every year. And then on Wednesday, if any of you are able to help move the pews that day, Dean has cooked up a really good system in his brain to help get all the pews outside and where they need to be, some in the Fellowship Hall and then the others in the picnic shelter out back. So that's 9 o'clock on Wednesday. Keep in mind, although I'm sure I'll forget many times throughout the week, next week is daylight savings time on Sunday. Thank goodness my phone does it automatically and I don't have to think about it, but I do have to do the other clocks in my house. And like I said, for the next few Sundays, we'll be worshiping in the Fellowship Hall. Also next Sunday, Silly and Youth are going to be bowling at the YMCA in the afternoon. And the Sunday school class is hosting the movie showing Simon Birch at 2:30 in the Fellowship Hall. So if you've wanted to watch that movie, please come at 2:30. I have something that I am delighted to share with you. So Pastor Jennifer introduced me to The Gather magazine, which is an ELCA publication, and sadly, I didn't know about it until Pastor Jennifer. Pastor Jennifer often writes for Gather, and some time ago, Pastor Jennifer wanted to share with the folks at Gather what had happened in our church and how Brantley had helped change our church with his service in Sunday morning worship. And that's how April got to write her article, which was published a couple months ago. And this week, the new edition came. And on page 20, Holly Grove is listed. And we share a little bit about our Sunday mornings. I'll read the first couple sentences, but just wanted you to be aware that this is a really exciting thing for us. And there'll be a link to this article in this week's Holly Leaf. It says, if you were to attend Sunday service at Holly Grove Lutheran Church in Lexington, North Carolina, you might notice that Pastor Anna Carter rarely leads worship alone, as she sets the table, serves communion, and processes down the aisle. There is a little boy at her side. His name is Brantley, and Pastor Anna has never met anyone quite like him. So be looking out for this in this week's Holly Leaf, as the ELCA gets to realize how amazing Brantley is and the gifts that he shares with us. We have a couple of birthdays this week, but I think there's one today. Is there a birthday girl here? Happy birthday, Kate! Kate turns 4 years old today. Yay, that's so exciting. And then later this week, it's Pat Elder's birthday. We won't ask you how old you are. You can, okay. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And last, but certainly not least, we've got two prayer shawls this morning. The first is for Emma Kate West, who is Jan's granddaughter and a new friend of mine. She is a very gifted scholar and author, and I have loved reading some of her writings on Substack. But she is having a hysterectomy this week, and so we lift her up in prayer and bless this prayer shawl for her. And this prayer shawl is for Allison Cusmano, who is a dear friend of Robert and Kelly's daughter, Rachel. Rachel and Bobby, her husband. She has been diagnosed with breast cancer and has a couple of young children. And Rachel thought this would be very comforting and cozy for her as she goes through her chemo treatments. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the gift of prayer, that whenever we come to you and however we come to you, that you are there waiting to receive us and to hear us. We lift up to you this morning Emma Kate and Allison, and ask that you would be with each of them as they navigate the road ahead, that you would be with their doctors and their care teams, and that you would remind them in very tangible ways that you are with them. We ask that you bless these prayer shawls, that as they feel the weight of them on their shoulders or on their lap, that they would feel the weight of the love and care that we have for them here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God whose love is everlasting. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God with us, we confess that we have turned away those seeking shelter, claiming there is no room when we have plenty. We have made power and wealth our idols, while you show us true glory, a baby in a manger. We have overlooked the shepherds, expecting good news in prettier packaging. Too often, we have valued violence instead of your peace. Turn us from our ways to your ways. Grant us the grace to begin again. Free us from all that keeps us bound, and forgive our sin. Through Jesus Christ, who gives himself for us. Amen. Hear the good news and rejoice. You are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. You are forgiven in Christ and freed to respond in joy. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, mighty and immortal, you are beyond our knowing, yet we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Transform us into the likeness of your Son, who renewed our humanity so that we may share in his divinity. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Annie. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Maddie. Good morning, Trevor. Well, you might have heard me say in the announcements that the next few Sundays, we're actually going to be worshiping in the fellowship hall. What do we usually do in the fellowship hall? We usually eat in there. That's right. That space is usually for eating. And so we're going to do something a little different in that space next week. And I just wanted to assure you that even though it'll be in a different place, there are going to be a lot of things that are the same. We'll have the baptismal font in there. We'll have the altar candles. We will have the offering plates. We'll still take up our offering. We'll still have some paraments in there, except next Sunday they'll be purple because Lent begins. And one of the things that's going to be a little different about next Sunday, and I thought we could talk about it and practice it, is that we are going to have the cross. I don't know if you ever noticed this cross against the wall back here. This is called a processional cross. We're going to be using the processional cross next Sunday and for the next few Sundays because it's especially important when we're using a space for worship that we know in our minds and in our hearts that it's for worship. And so what we'll do is somebody, maybe the first Sunday me, and then if somebody else wants to do it, during the gathering hymn, we'll enter into the space with the cross. Are you so excited, Trevor? Did everybody see he has a haircut and he's looking so big? He's just growing up so fast. You gonna come up here? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So we'll follow the cross into that worship space. Now here's the thing, not everybody is going to follow me by walking in there and following the cross, but what the congregation does and what you can do is when I'm at the back of the fellowship hall, you'll turn and face the cross. And essentially what we do, hi buddy, hi, what we do is we're always facing the cross, that we follow the cross into worship, and we follow the cross out back into the world. And I think we'll see this maybe after we practice it today and after we do it a couple of times. But I wanted to also let you know that one of the things that you can do for the cross, it's very appropriate, is that as it's always before you when it comes by you, to respect Jesus and the presence of Jesus, you can bow toward the cross. And remember, there are two kinds of bows, a little bow with just your neck, little bow, or a big bow where you bow at your waist. And you can do either of those. So I thought it'd be helpful today to practice this. Do you all wanna practice this with me? What do you think, Trevor? What do you think? Can I hand you back to Mom or Sawyer? There we go. He's pretty good with the flow. Yes, he is. All Okay. Have you all ever noticed this cross much before? No. No, it's kind of tucked away back there. So do you want to follow me or do you want to watch me? Do you want to follow or watch? You want to watch, okay. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. In the fellowship hall, we'll do the confession and forgiveness, and then I'll go to the back where the cross will be waiting, and during the gathering hymn, we will process in. Oh, good, Maddie's going to come help. And how about the congregation can stand so you can practice too? So the cross is always, always before you. So you're facing it as it's here, and you'll continue to keep it before you as we go forward. So the gathering hymn, and as we pass by, you bow or reverence the cross, and then you turn so that you're still facing the cross. The symbolism here is that we follow Jesus everywhere we go. And so then I'll get to the front of the fellowship hall, and anybody who's following me will bow to the cross, and they'll go to their place, and I'll put the cross in its stand. You may be seated. And then what we do after worship is we do the same thing, just the opposite, where the cross will leave the worship space and we follow Jesus back out into the world. I know it's new, but I think the more that we do it, the more it will make sense. Does that sound good? So I'm excited to worship in there with you all and make kind of a fun memory, because I think in the years to come you'll say, oh, remember when I was a little girl and we worshiped in Lent for a few Sundays? We're going to be making some memories. So let us pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for our church. And thank you for each other. Help us to worship you wherever we are, in the sanctuary, in the fellowship hall, and out in the world. We love you, God. Amen. All right, y'all may go to Children's Church with Anna today.
Let us now recite Psalm 99 together. The Lord is King, let the people tremble. The Lord is enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth shake. The Lord, great in Zion, is high above all peoples. Let them confess God's name, which is great and awesome. God is the Holy One. O mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord and fall down before God's footstool. God is the Holy One. Moses and Aaron among your priests, and Samuel among those who call upon your name, O Lord. They called upon you, and you answered them. You spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. They kept your testimonies and the decree you gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them indeed. You were a God who forgave them, yet punished them for their evil deeds. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord and worship upon God's holy hill. For the Lord our God is the Holy One.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent in those days and told no one of any of the things that they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Sometimes I skip pages in my sermon, but if I didn't have one up here and was missing the thing entirely, maybe that would be a little bit more noticeable. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we remember and celebrate the Transfiguration of Jesus. And to be honest, I don't always know what to do with this passage of Scripture. I know it's important. Certainly Matthew, Mark, and Luke thought it was significant enough to include in their Gospels. But outside of this Sunday, I don't really think about this story. And I'm pretty sure that outside of this Sunday and this story, I never use the word transfiguration. It's just not a regular word in my vocabulary. It's a cool story, but it doesn't seem that applicable to everyday life. And yet, today, and every year on the Sunday before Lent begins, we read about this amazing story, the splendor of the Transfiguration. When God transfigures Christ, showing three of Jesus' followers Jesus' true identity. Jesus is God incarnate, embodied in human flesh. On that mountaintop, God gave Jesus a new and exalted appearance. And thankfully, Peter, James, and John weren't asleep, and they got to witness this amazing event. They saw the dazzling brilliance of Jesus, the otherworldly appearance of Moses and Elijah. And Peter has the idea to capture this moment. He wants it to last forever. But before Peter can even finish his sentence with his proposition, a voice from heaven interrupts him. God repeats the words that God said to Jesus at his baptism. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground in fear. And then, as quickly as the disciples' mountaintop moment began, it ended. It was over. Moses and Elijah were gone. Jesus' clothes and face returned to normal, and they went back down the mountain, back to life, back to reality, back to where the demands of the world were waiting for them. But here's the thing, they don't go back the same. Even though the world they go back to is the same, they aren't. They have experienced something so remarkable that it has changed them. And so they go back different. This event, Jesus' transfiguration, this experience was a turning point for them. And it was a turning point for Jesus. The disciples, these three at least, now know Jesus' true identity. Up to this point, he was a great teacher. He was their rabbi. They had seen him do miracles and healings. But they now know Jesus' true identity, that Jesus is God in human flesh. And even if they don't understand what that means or grasp what it means, they know it. It has been revealed to them. This experience is also a turning point for Jesus, too. Jesus is shifting his gaze toward Jerusalem. Jesus is shifting his gaze toward the cross, toward his death, and ultimately toward his resurrection 3 days later. This Sunday is always a turning point for us, too. We've spent the last 2 months in the season after Epiphany, looking at all of the ways that God reveals Jesus to the world, and how in other gospel lessons, God continues to reveal God's self through Jesus' words and actions. And now, after being in that season, we shift our gaze and our calendar toward Lent as we prepare ourselves for all that God will reveal at the cross and at the empty tomb. I think this story is a great passage to lead us into Lent, because we, like Peter, have a tendency to say and do things without thinking. Did you notice that that was in that passage, that Peter said what he said without thinking? What a common human thing for us to do. And so we, like Peter, have a tendency to do that. We certainly have the tendency to want to hold on to things, to want to cling to them. And Lent is the season of intentionally examining ourselves and our lives. The 40 days of Lent are about discerning what it is that we cling to, what it is that we hold on to, that we might need to let go of, or to release, or to at the very least loosen our grip of, so that we can make more room, more time in our lives and in our hearts for Jesus and the ways that he calls us to serve and follow him. And so Lent begins in just 3 days, Ash Wednesday, and I want to encourage you to be intentional about your Lenten journey. Right? Lent isn't required. It's not required that you read the devotional, that you come to Wednesday evening worship, that you have a Lenten practice. But I promise if you fully engage in the season of Lent and its practices, that God will transform you and transfigure your heart and your mind and your body, just as Jesus was transfigured that day. And so I do want to encourage you to be intentional about your Lenten journey. Maybe spend some time this afternoon or in the next couple of days thinking about and praying about what it is that you cling to that hinders you or distracts you or maybe keeps you from spending more time in prayer or in God's Word. Think about and pray about what you cling to, or what distracts you from spending more time in worship or in service to others. name it and claim it. And remember, some of the things that we cling to or hold on to aren't necessarily bad in and of themselves, because some of the things that God does call us to give up during Lent from time to time are really good things. But still, we're called to give them up as we make our journey with Jesus toward the cross and toward Easter, so that we can deepen our relationship with God. I'm going to offer a few ideas about what you might want to let go of for Lent. But before I do, I just want to remind you of a few Lenten logistics. When we give up something for Lent, or when we fast from it, we aren't doing that to punish ourselves. So if it feels like a punishment, you need to stop, because that's not what giving something up for Lent is about. We don't give something up or fast from it during Lent to lose a few extra pounds. Lent is not a diet. We don't give something up or fast from it to break a bad habit, because Lent is not a test of our self-discipline. We give something up or fast from it to make more room in our lives, in our hearts and minds and bodies. We do it to clear out more space for God in our heart and our minds and our bodies, and maybe even in our schedule. And so, in addition to fasting, it's very common to also add something. So for example, maybe, and I can't do this one, this would be self-discipline for me, so I can't do this one. Maybe you give up hitting the snooze button in the morning, and you spend those few extra minutes in prayer instead. Maybe you give up drinking one or two of your sodas each day, and instead add in drinking water to better care for the body that God gave you to steward. Maybe you give up spending time scrolling mindlessly on your phone or mindlessly watching TV, and you spend that time with God in prayer, in God's word, in service to others. The last logistic I want to remind you of, and this really isn't that well known, but after today you can say that you know. Yes, Lent is a 40-day season that begins on Ash Wednesday, but those 40 days don't include Sundays, because Sundays are never a fast day, because Sundays are always, always, always a celebration of the resurrection. Sundays are always a day to come to God's table and to feast upon God's love and God's grace. So, if you give up scrolling on social media, you do that Monday through Saturday. But Sunday is not a feast day, so go ahead and scroll away. So I want to offer you a few ideas that you might want to give up for Lent. But again, spend time in prayer and thinking about this with God. But this list comes from Pope Francis. You may have seen this list on Facebook, but you can also Google it. So these are some of St. Francis's suggestions. Fast from saying hurting words and say kind words instead. Fast from sadness and be filled with gratitude. Fast from anger and be filled with patience. Fast from pessimism and be filled with hope. Fast from worries and trust in God. Fast from complaints and contemplate simplicity. Fast from pressures and be prayerful. Fast from bitterness and fill your heart with joy. Fast from selfishness and be compassionate. Fast from grudges and be reconciled. Fast from words and be silent and listen. Fast from indifference toward others, and be concerned with the needs of others, especially those who are different from you. And if you want to have conversation or prayer with me about what your Lenten journey might look like, please reach out to me. I'd love to have a conversation with you about that. So I think one of the reasons that we like Peter so much is that he is just so relatable. He shows us that we don't have to be perfect to be a follower of Jesus. We get Peter because in many ways we are like him. And in the case of the Transfiguration, we, like Peter, have a tendency to hold on to things or say and do things without thinking. So today, as we shift our gaze from this season after Epiphany toward Lent, toward Good Friday, toward Easter Sunday, let us begin to prepare ourselves by acknowledging what it is that we cling to, what it is that we say or do without thinking, and then give it up or fast from it during Lent, so that we can deepen our relationship with God and make more room in ourselves and in our lives for Jesus and all the ways that he calls us to serve him. May it be so to the glory of God. Amen.
Living in hope and trust, let us now confess our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. Transfiguring God, through the glory of your presence, you transform us. Move the church from compliancy to boldness in sharing the good news with others. God of grace, hear our prayer. We pray for your creation. As seasons change, give patience and skill to all who tend to animals giving birth. Grant nourishing weather for the growing of crops. God of grace, hear our prayer. We pray for all in leadership, especially for those who lead states, counties, and town councils. Give them wisdom to protect local resources so that all will flourish both now and in the years to come. God of grace, hear our prayer. Bring your healing grace to those who feel distance from you. Speak comfort to those who need your words of mercy. We pray for those close to our communities, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Janine, Rosala, Pam, Joe, Carolyn, Anna, Eddie, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of our past, present, and future, lead us into new beginnings, trusting in the promise of new life in Christ. Accompany congregations needing to close, and give courage to congregations starting new ministries. God of grace, hear our prayer. Renew in God, the saints who have gone before us witnessed to the ways you transform your church and people, especially Judy Richardson and Ronnie Seaford. We give thanks for their example and pray we carry it forward. God of grace, hear our prayer.
We entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise is revealed among the people. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with one another. Peace be with you, Brantley. Peace be with you, Calvin. Peace be with you, Judy. Sunday of the month, and our basket offering this month is going towards Silly, so that will come around after the offering plates.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. God of grace, your love reaches to the heavens, and your abundance to the depths of the seas. Bless what we offer to your service, our gifts, our abilities, and our hearts. Let us overflow with gratitude and generosity, now and always. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who, sharing our life, lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to your own brilliant light. So with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Amen. Lord, unite us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Come, eat this meal of gladness.
Come, 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 come
blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Nourishing God, at this table you have refreshed us with holy gifts of food and drink. Strengthen us for service and send us out to embody your good news of liberation and healing for the sake of the world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
The Spirit of the Triune God bless you with joy, anoint you with compassion, and send you with love. Amen.
Let us now recite our mission statement together.
As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.